You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a digital space for students at PCC experiencing disabilities to share their perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or X-Ray FM. We broadcast bi-weekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, on Spotify, and on X-Ray 91.1 FM and 107.1 FM.
Hi everyone, I'm your host Zoe, and welcome to our latest episode of A Slice of Life. As always, with me is our lovely guide dog Tucker, and joining us later will be Kuma to help us prepare the meal and one of our guest hosts, Patricia. But right here with me now, I have our first guest host, Ray.
Well, I'm Ray. What can I say?
Ray and I met when I used to work at Costco as a sales associate back in 2020. Ooh, was it four? I think it was. Yeah, 2024, right?
Well, it was three years ago.
Yeah, it was like the end of 2023-ish. So I would say between two and a half and 3 years now. So that's been a while. And Ray's been a role model and inspiration for me. And it's been really great getting to know Ray all these years. So yeah, I suppose for our first question, what are we making today?
Well, we're making a family pie called a lemon dream pie with meringue topping.
Oh my, that sounds fabulous. And I'm going to be totally honest here. I am awful at baking. I don't know what it is. I always try to measure as perfectly as possible. Not too high, not too low. The right measuring cups. Get the right temperatures. But for me, I don't know what it is. I just can't seem to make it work. But I imagine that this pie, even though it might sound daunting to those that aren't too familiar with baking, is this a... Would this be a simple pie to make? Because it sounds really fancy.
It's simple. I don't know how to say it without going into details, but we'll go into that later.
Yeah. With Kuma and Patricia as well.
But it's sweet. It's simple. Make it ahead of time for parties. And if you make a mistake, you always have time to make another one.
That is true, yeah. Not to make you viewers jealous, but I sneaked a little bit of the pie when Ray made it last time. That topping was so light and fluffy, and it was like, what would you call it? A meringue?
Yeah, meringue.
Oh gosh, that sounds so fabulous.
Now, meringue's easy, but hard, because you have to start it and add sugars gradually, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. That pie sounds absolutely amazing. So let's get to know you a little bit, Ray.
I was a 1 pound, 12 ounce baby 3 months early.
Oh my.
So that's how I got my vision problems, because of the incubator and the pressure. But I lived a good life so far, except for diabetes. That kind of sucks, but... Being married for 29 years.
Oh my, coming on the 30th.
Yeah, just had it April. April was good. Me and my Patricia, as you'll meet later, we've been a good pair, each helping each other. Ups and downs with life, but we're still not going to give it up.
Truly, it has truly been an inspiration to know you. Could you describe real quick, because you mentioned that you were a diabetic, and also, what's your level of vision loss?
Well, my vision loss was because of incubator, glaucoma, and cataract and stuff. I lost one eye, but it hasn't stopped me from riding motorcycles, horses, and jumping in the jetty at Tillamook and stuff like that. I was less restricted when I was younger. Now that I'm older with diabetes, I'm more restricted to vision and stuff.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
And that sucks. But people get old, too, and then they die.
I mean, it is true. It's a part of life. But at the same time, it's about enjoying and maximizing the ride that you're on, right?
Yeah.
And knowing all the things that you... I didn't know that you rode horses.
Yeah, I had two horses. I had a Welsh when I was 18, 16, 15...
Oh, wow.
Welch, and then a painted pony. I rode bareback in the pasture. One time I rode bareback, and the horse started running back towards the barn, in the barn, which is kind of a shed. So I flipped underneath the horse while it was galloping or running.
Oh!
And then I saw it. Well, it's running. I can't get back up. I'm between two front hoofs. So I was around his neck.
Oh, gosh.
Underneath the hoofs. The horse was running, and I just said, well, do or die. Okay, I'm going to land here since it's soft. So I let go, got up, and no damage.
My other
friend that was with me was totally scared. And did you get hurt and stuff? And no, that's my life story. I'm lucky. No hurt, no problem. Yeah, that was fun.
Fun, true. Scary, for sure. Even just to listen makes my blood pump a little bit. But that's a really amazing story to hear that, like, you know, you went
through. But I've learned that because of my glaucoma and my retina partially detached, riding, I could ride. I can't gallop. I couldn't trot, but I could run because of the jarring of the horse.
Oh, okay.
And that's one thing with people with partial detached retina. Part of it was detached with one hair kind of thing.
I know what you mean, yeah.
So it was very loose and any jarring or fighting. No trampolines, I found out when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
I couldn't trampoline either.
Yeah.
I still did it. I did a lot of things, but...
Hey, we're kids. When you're kid, you got... The world is so big, we gotta do what we can. We gotta live.
Yeah, it's definitely lived more than any other person with my situation. Drove motorcycles on 101.
Oh, wow.
At the beach, Rockaway. I drove pickup trucks in the mountains behind the beach house in logging roads.
Oh, wow.
200 lift one side, a 3-foot ditch on the other side. Luckily, there was no logging roads and they weren't used much. But that's how I learned to drive and stuff.
That's quite fabulous indeed, yeah.
More than most people, but I was younger and venturesome. And only thing my dad did, we had motorcycles, we drove on a log road.
Uh-huh.
There was a 6-foot board. We'd go over, my dad would drive over the board on a little 90cc and would drive over the little river, stream.
Okay.
No problem. But he couldn't drive in the logging roads without falling over and hurting his hand in my motorcycle.
Oh, no, really?
He was showing off, but he was way down there. He got lost control. But I tried to do this 3-foot board, and I got scared. I couldn't do it.
It is hard. Overcoming that first leap, it's, oh, my gosh.
Well, you got a little, it's a little creak, but still, you have to have confidence, and I didn't have the confidence.
True, but at the same time, it's a 3-foot board, and you're riding a full-on motorcycle over it.
Well, yeah, but I did it, kind of, but scared the crap out of me.
Still.
Yeah, so I was lucky. I mean, things like that, or we had a good time when I was younger.
That does sound fabulous.
And horseback riding on the beaches are one thing I
remember. Oh, gosh, that sounds amazing. Well, lucky, I suppose that's how a lot of my creations go. I leave it all up to Lady Luck, and I'm like, you know what? I'll roll the dice. If I'm feeling really basic and I just pull two random cans of soup out, I'll combine these. Sometimes it goes together really well. A beef and vegetable soup and some sort of tomato-based or vegetable-based soup. Other times, you get chicken sausage gumbo combined with New England clam chowder.
Yep.
Kuma has never let me hear the end of when I combine
that's
those two.
That's a combination
two.
That I think... You needed rice to go with it or something.
Oh, it was horrible. I ate it anyways because I was hungry. But when you roll the dice and don't identify what you're pulling out of the cabinet and to try to mix together, it becomes a little bit more...
Do you have Tucker then too?
Oh, I had Tucker. Trust me. I don't think he would
have eaten it.
No, I didn't want to give it to him. Didn't know if they're toxic.
You know, if the dog don't eat it, you know it's bad.
I was pretty sure he wouldn't eat it. It was bad. Because gumbo was kind of watery, and then the chowder was all thick. So I combined it with a spoon, but didn't want to combine. That's what the vibe was, and it was horrible.
Well, sealed up your tummy.
That is true. At the end of the day, that's how I think of some foods. I always tell Kuma, you want some pizza? And they'll be like, sure. And I'll be like, okay, here's some bread, tomato, cheese. Have fun.
Now, if you do that with a, what do you call it, baguette?
Yeah?
Do that with a baguette. Tomato sauce, cheese, and a baguette, and then some meat or something like that. That makes it an easier pizza to make than just a slice bread.
You know what? And you all podcast listeners know as well. I'm going to see if I can surprise Kuma and see what they think about it, because that actually sounds amazing to do.
And it's really simple, but it's good for one or two people. Just take a French baguette, cut it lengthways, and then put the tomato sauce on it, the Parmesan cheese, three cheeses, whatever you prefer.
Parmesan, feta, and mozzarella sounds
good. Yeah, that's really good. And then put pepperoni or salami. Sausage is a good combination. If you like vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables,
onions,
cheese.
Grilled onions.
Ooh, mushrooms.
Mushrooms, peppers, green peppers, and stuff like that would be a real simple pizza thing that you could just make up real quick.
Yeah, that sounds like a homemade bagel bite, but with a baguette instead of one of those little things. I'm always telling Kuma, it combines in the stomach. At the end of the day, it's basically as if you ate a pizza.
Yeah, it is easier to eat and less messy.
They're always very exasperated with me. So I'll let y'all listeners know what they think of it when I surprise them with it. But hey, little recipe for you all. What a
salt
treat.
Salt and pepper, a little bit of
garlic?
Garlic or Parmesan. Yes, flakes of Parmesan. It's all shredded stuff, so it'll light stuff.
They're all get melted down. That's why the feta, mozzarella, and Parmesan sound really good. Even just that by itself, plus a little marinara. Not like tomato paste.
You could do marinara. Is really good. You could do marinara. For sure, too. Either one. But you want a thicker, a little thicker.
Gotcha. Oh, gosh. Look at us. Podcast about food, learning to live life and enjoy it and treat disabilities not as a hindrance.
Don't hold back. Do what you can do. Do what you feel comfortable with and grow from there. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Do it in a way you can do it with help or with assistance. I know people that's blind and they ride bikes. They do these bike rides, might be tandem bikes, and then they can ride that way. They might not steer it, just have a person that can steer the bike and they ride the behind, and it's still freedom. But it was a thing for me is more riding motorcycles, the freedom of the wind in your hair and the bugs in your teeth. And
oh my.
Just having that kind of freedom that you don't get because you're so restricted of what you can do. So if you go boating or go canoeing or kayaking or something like that. Or what's that one that they do? Team?
Rafting?
No. What's the one that they
dragon
do?
Boating.
Dragon boating.
Yeah, dragon boats.
Dragon boating. If you can't see and can't do anything, do dragon boats and do it with a team member. IRA group that did dragon boating and stuff on the Willamette. Do that. That's really fun with a bunch of people, a bunch of blind people or whatever, a bunch of friends. They become friends.
Aren't they still doing that? Isn't that team called, Lethally Blind?
There's a pink one for cancer people that they all wear pink and they're cancer survivors.
How wonderful.
There's 7 or 8 dragon boats. They're just different teams and different groups that do different things and have something in common.
Gosh, and last time I actually went to just a few of the practices, but it was so great to meet everyone. And you really meet people from all sorts of walks of life and all sorts of different backgrounds. Back then, I think I was only 18. But yeah, I could meet people as young as me. But there was a lady who was, I think, 80 at the time, and she was still on the dragon boat team.
Really? Age old, as long as you do exercise and don't sit around and on the couch and watching TV and eat potatoes.
Well, granted, she was one of the most energetic and positive people I know, and she's helped so many people. So, yeah, she's
stay young, awesome. And healthy, and do something with your brain or read. I hate reading.
Oh, no, you hate reading? I guess if it's difficult to read, but I don't know. I read just on my phone or on the computer now, but yeah, some really great books. A lot of people around me and myself, too, have been getting into that Dungeon Crawler Carl series. You've been laying down some really great thoughts and philosophies on me. Can you give me just an idea of one big event that kind of describes how you feel about your culinary experience through life, learning how to cook, and how it's affected your life? For me, I might say that the way that I would describe my own journey is when I first started learning how to cook, when I was doing those rice-a-ronis, and I was, I can just do these in the rice cooker. In goes my ingredients, my water, and all my milk and butter. And so by doing that, the milk went everywhere. I destroyed that rice cooker. But luckily, my roommate's super awesome. So yeah, I destroyed the rice cooker. I proceeded to destroy the next rice cooker as well. But our current rice cooker works very well. That's kind of how I would describe my story, is silly, crazy mistakes. But I do my best. I always try, I learn from them, and I correct them to make the best possible rice-a-roni dish that you can make.
Yeah. One of my people says, you made the grass meatball slow cooker recipe. And I said, what did you put in your recipe? Barbecue sauce and bought old pre-made meatballs. And they think it's the best thing they ever tasted.
Sometimes it's a simple things, and that's one of the goals of this podcast as well, is focusing on the student experience, but also focusing on making amazing, delicious meals from some of the simplest ingredients. Because you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to go and buy a gold-plated steak that you... A butter-boiled gold-plated steak, I think it is.
Chinese or Japanese steaks.
Wagyu.
Oh my God, those things. Steaks are just to die for.
You know what? Those cows... Now, sorry to all you vegetarians or non-meat eaters out there, but purely for factual reasons I'm telling this. But yeah, those Wagyu cows are treated so well. I won't claim to be an expert on them by any means, but I did some reading into them and watched a few TV shows about them, and it is really fascinating, just the entire industry, how well they treat those cows. Those cows, a lot of them have their own masseuses, massage people.
Massage, yeah.
Yeah, and they're a very controlled, special diet that they feed them, and then the meat that you get from them, you know, marbled with white and whatnot, that's your steaks. Okay. The meat that you get from these cows is pink, because there's no visible lines of fat, and that fat is so perfectly marbled with the meat that gives you the most flavorful, tender, juicy bite ever. Oh, it's divine.
I don't have those very often.
But the really good stuff is like $2,000 for a pound. Won't be having that anytime often either, but you can get like...
Well, there's a store that might sell them.
Yeah, there are some other cuts of Wagyu that are much less. So for a really special event, a couple $100 for a Wagyu steak sounds good.
Well, there's a new Oriental store that's near me on Mall 205, 99 Ranch.
Yeah,
they
you
have
saw
fish.
Them.
Did you see it?
I saw them, and I saw they have these things called sashima. And those are really, it's a Chinese, sort of, it's hard to describe. It's a Rice Krispie, but with these big noodle flour thing. I don't even know how to describe it. It's really good. But yeah, that sounds great. Culinary experience or culinary story, do you have one for us that could describe or give off the vibe of what you think?
It's wonderful when you get old that you forget all those things. You don't remember them.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But no, then you go to the store. Do you have any great stores? No, I'm too senile.
This was maybe around the fall of last year. And this friend of ours, her partner at the time, was out with some sort of pain. And he wasn't able to run his food place. She's super awesome, this friend of...
Oh, she'll give you the shirt off her back.
Yeah, she's so generous, so kind. I'm sure she has lots of contacts.
He was out for a week.
Yeah.
Is that right? About a week?
It was about a week, but...
So it really been a loss of money and loss of revenue if he was gone that long.
Yeah, yeah. And who does she call to help? She called you.
And you.
Oh, no, no.
Helped in other ways and other times.
I helped in other ways and other times, yeah. But at that point in that week, I actually didn't work.
That week. It was...
But running that restaurant, and of all the people that she knew, blind, sighted, she called you, which was just a demonstration from her of how much she respected you and your skills. So it's just really cool to see, and it's really inspiring. It's something that I definitely aspire to as well.
It does inspire, but I would do anything for her, because she just seems like she bends over backwards for everybody, all her people that she works with, but I wouldn't do anything for him.
I gotcha, but... Yeah.
That's life, and I'm glad to help. I would have done it for nothing.
Truly,
I would have done it pure.
This podcast so far, our first few episodes, have focused on bulgogi beef. It's not exactly because there's no gochujang in the recipe. But yeah, to be clear, that first episode's recipe is not bulgogi beef, but it's like inspired by the flavor. You can add gochujang or other ingredients, dress it up to your style. But there's been a Mediterranean one pot dish, ham hock and bean stew soup with buttermilk biscuits, savory dishes.
Yeah, like main dishes.
Yeah, yeah, like main dishes. A goal of this podcast is to not only focus on cooking, how the culinary experience inspires, but also to find these simple, amazing recipes that are delicious, that you can make at home, that are inspired, really, and that people can make their own. This pie, from what you've described to me and from what you said already here on this podcast, it does sound simple, but so delicious, frozen. or like chilled, it would make an amazing pie in the summer is what I'm imagining. But we'll be focused, we'll be getting into the baking segment later, but to round out this sort of segment, are there any other words of wisdom or any stories or just like anything about your culinary experience or background that you'd like to share?
A lot of 5 years of culinary, but I did, my culinary is dishwashing, but then I always paid attention, and that's the one thing, try to pay attention to what's around you and learn from that. You can learn a lot if you just pay attention and ask a few questions.
Yeah, I know one or two YouTube chefs who have that pretty much exact same story about where they start lowly beginnings with a dishwasher, but they pay attention. They learn where they get, they want to learn. It's kind of like that Ratatouille story.
Oh, we can't sell Ratatouille anymore.
Oh, really?
They outlawed it.
Wait, what?
The city of Portland outlawed Ratatouille. Now they can't sell it at restaurants.
Since when?
Just recently.
Wait, why though?
I don't know exactly. It's just really weird. They don't want restaurants selling that anymore.
That's really unfortunate.
Well, you know what ratatouille is.
Oh, I know what ratatouille is. Yeah, it's that French vegetable dish that has that tomato base and all those sorts of vegetables. I really enjoyed the way that they did it in Ratatouille because I'm no culinary expert, but it seemed like he presented his dish in a way kind of differently than how you would expect, with the slices sort of arranged. If you imagine a deck of cards, but you kind of grip it with your middle finger and your thumb and then tap your finger on the side and then just like roll your finger across the table. It was a really interesting slice arrangement and a really interesting arrangement with a sauce, with a garnish. It looked beautiful. It inspired me to try my own ratatouille and it tasted good, but I think I just need more practice.
That helps too. They do a lot of practicing, a lot of things.
Truly. So would there be any other stories or any other experience or words of wisdom that you'd like to share before we get into our baking segment?
Keep practicing. And some people take it 200 times before they get the recipe right, but they don't give up. And that's the secret. Learn from your mistakes and keep plugging away.
That's really profound.
Because if practice makes perfect, and that's so true with a lot of things. Don't give up. And with anything you do, if it's goal of kitchen or activities or friends,
5 years as a dishwasher and as a diabetic and with the vision impairment as well, that's a lot of dedication. And especially with the food restrictions being a diabetic, for me, I'm allergic to eggs and you have observed me crack eggs. Please describe to me, our listeners, how good I am at cracking eggs.
Well, first we put gloves on you so you wouldn't have contamination.
Yeah, because I'm allergic, yeah.
You're allergic. And then they put a nice little white apron and it still came out clean. But sometimes there was two ways to do it, one on the edge of the bowl or one on the table. And maybe you should have switched to the tables and tap it and then flip it and then crack it.
That is true.
But then sometimes you just don't know your own strength.
Yeah, I crushed my second egg. I crushed it while trying to break it.
So there's a happy medium between crack it enough or the edge and not too much power.
Yeah, but hey, practice makes perfect.
But I'm not letting you go through two cartons of eggs, though. You're not learning from that.
Yeah, no, gotcha. But it's really interesting because it's really cool to look at all these restrictions and the way that people attempt things, learn from them, and make their changes to the recipe as well. Part of this recipe is instead of using regular sugar, this recipe that you have calls for 6 tablespoons of monk fruit substitute sugar.
Yeah, it's good for diabetics. And it came from a dietitian from Providence, a seminar that I went to.
Yeah, so that would eliminate so much sugar.
Not so much sugar, but the artificial stuff, your body can't break artificial sugar.
You can't break it down.
Then if you read in the ingredients, it's artificial sugar.
Yeah.
So they get rid of it, but it's still not good for you. But that's another story to the...
True, yeah, but it's about making healthy decisions.
This monk food is really good. And it's sugar, but it's made... I don't know how it's made, actually. That's a good question we should ask our listeners.
Yeah, we'll definitely get that information. But yeah, I just didn't even know that was a thing. So it was really cool to hear about that. And it was a really cool edit because for a lot of people that are like, how do diabetics enjoy like sweets or pies or whatnot without using all that artificial stuff?
That's what it seems like it's going towards. The pops are going that way. I can drink more pop as a diet pop than a regular pop. But that's not true because it still adds up, but it just don't add up in the same way. People think they can drink more pop or drink diabetic sugars and diabetic stuff and not be affected, but they still get affected in a different way.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for this recipe, and I just can't wait to get into this segment. Yeah. Again, thanks so much for sharing these words of wisdom, these experiences, these stories. I'm sure listeners are going to find this recipe absolutely amazing, and I hope...
I had fun doing it.
Yeah, and I hope this episode gives comfort to you viewers and something that you can listen to while sipping some hot cocoa by the fireplace. So with that, I'll see you in the next segment. Bye!
Bye. Nice talking.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to A Slice of Life. We're here in the kitchen now, and I'm with Kuma. Unfortunately, our guest hosts Ray and Patricia weren't able to make it onto the show today, but instead, we'll be making you the recipe ourselves with a little added twist from an idea that Kuma had.
Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday that we're recording.
I think it's Father's Day, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Sunday, everyone.
Happy Sunday.
So we are making something from Ray and Patricia called a lemon icebox pie. So it's a lemon meringue pie, everyone, with some really nice added supplemental options, I would say. Ray uses monk fruit sugar, which he says he's diabetic, and it's a very good sugar to use. It's safe for diabetics.
That's right. Yeah, monk fruit sugar is what he used. You at home, if you're diabetic, you can always choose the best option for you. Monk fruit sugar was something I didn't even know about. We don't have that today, so we're using regular sugar. But at home, definitely feel free to replace it with monk fruit sugar if you like.
So the ingredients from Ray is one pre-made pie crust. It is suggested using a graham cracker or vanilla wafer pie crust. So it's going to be crumbly.
Yeah, you can pick those up easy at Winko, Fred Meyer, pretty much any grocery store for just a couple bucks. Not too bad.
3 eggs that are room temperature.
So make sure to let them thaw for about an hour after you take them out of the fridge before you make the pie.
Yep. 1 can of sweetened condensed milk is about 14 ounces.
You know one of my favorite old desserts, Kuma? It was just literally cold strawberries with condensed milk on top. Oh, 14 ounces in this pie, huh? That sounds like it's going to be a nice creamy pie.
1/3 cup of lemon juice that can be freshly squeezed, which is what Zoe and I are going to try and go with today.
Yeah.
Or that bulk lemon juice that you can buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Usually they have it with just the fresh produce, I believe.
Yeah, it's fresh lemon juice that we're using today, but the lemon juice in the bottle, totally fine. That works out well. You can get those smaller bottles, but for this recipe, you would probably want to get one of those big Costco bottles that are a quart or something. And it's wonderful because lemon juice goes in so many amazing recipes.
And then we're going to have that 6 tablespoons of sugar or sugar supplement.
Yep.
And what I'm doing today is I'm using a pre-made pie crust. I melted some butter so I can bake the pie dough itself for a few minutes beforehand, because when I add in the lemon pie filling, that pie mix should already be, or the pie dough should already be halfway cooked.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just congeal together.
You know what? I never even thought about that. Now, for those at home, I am not good at baking. The only things I can really bake are frozen pizza. Yeah, but I never even thought about how the bottom of a pie, because I've tried making pot pies before and whatnot. When you put that raw dough in the oven with the insides, the bottom can get crispy, but a lot of times on the insides congealed together. So I didn't realize that. You just brush the bottom with just a little bit of butter and then halfway cook it in the oven?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So I'll read the full recipe with all the steps. That way everyone knows it.
Yeah, starting from the top.
And then we'll go into my deviations. What were you saying earlier about exploring while cooking, Zoe?
Oh, it's good. It's really good. That's the spirit of what this podcast is. It's great to explore, and it's all about learning and walking through your own journey in life. This podcast, we're here to talk about it. We're here to provide comfort, show the foibles of everyday mistakes, because there will be mistakes, but that's how you learn. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, this is about trying new things, finding the things that work for you, and doing the things that really put a smile on your face when you know that it's worked out. I made a curry the other night, and Kuma and I thought it was 75% of the way there. It was good, but not amazing. And really, we came to the conclusion that it was only lacking, realistically, only one thing, two things, fresh chili peppers, and also a spoonful of peanut butter to bind it all together and to provide a little bit more of that nutty flavor in the background. Mm-hmm. So it's like things that you do when you experiment, when you test things out, you find the things that you enjoy the most.
Yeah. And you find fun combinations, too.
Absolutely.
So from Ray, what we're going to do is we're going to take those three eggs, right? The room temperature eggs, and you need two bowls. You're going to crack each egg individually and separate out the yolk, so that yellow part, from the egg white, so that clear part. If you crack an egg yolk so it's runny, just get a new egg.
Yeah, don't feel bad about wasting eggs. I'll be totally honest with you, I'm allergic to eggs, so I never really work with them. So when I tried cracking eggs, I really tried to practice. Mm-hmm. But after cracking, like, what was it, two cartons, I only got two eggs to actually separate.
It takes time.
It takes time and practice. But if you break an egg, don't worry. Just take that egg, save it, put it away. You can use it for something else, or even make it into a scramble. Very easy.
Okay. So we've separated out those three eggs. We're going to take those three egg yolks, and with a mixer, we're going to beat it so it's all nice and mixed up. Then we're going to add the can of condensed milk, so that 14 ounces of sweetened condensed milk, to the yolks, and we're going to mix again. During that process, we're slowly going to add a third cup of lemon juice to that yolk and sweetened condensed milk mixture. Once we're done with that, we're going to turn to the actual pie dough itself, okay?
Now, that's a simple filling. Will it taste really lemony in the center?
That's what we're hoping.
Oh, okay.
So, with the pie crust, what we're going to do is brush a little bit of butter on your pie pan. Just hold on to that. Sorry, just hold on to that.
It's fine.
You're going to melt some butter, and you're going to brush it onto the pie pan itself, like on the inside. And then you're slowly gonna roll out the pie dough to cover the pie tin, okay?
Okay. And that's protect the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure it doesn't burn or stick.
And if this is a raw, normal pie dough, take a fork and poke some holes into the bottom of it, okay?
Oh, okay.
And then bake it for 5 to 10 minutes.
That makes sense. Let anything underneath escape, otherwise it'll make the bottom like bubble up and look weird. That makes sense.
So once we're done with that, and we've taken our pie dough out of the oven, and we're letting it cool, we're going to pour the yolk mixture into the pie pan.
Ooh.
Yep. Then clean that bowl. Clean the mixing bowl.
Yeah.
Pour in the egg whites, and we're going to beat the egg whites until it turns very light and fluffy, and that can take a while.
Yeah, they call them stiff peaks.
Yep, that can take up to 10 minutes, I believe.
You don't want to overbeat them now.
Nope.
But once they start to turn into those nice, stiff, they're looking a bit white, and they keep their shape, then you know that you're on the cusp of having them done.
Then you're going to add the 6 tablespoons of sugar to the egg whites while it's beating.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then once that is ready, then you pour the egg whites, it's called a meringue, on top of the pie itself.
Now that sounds simple, but so delicious.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll bake for 7 minutes at 350 degrees or until the topping, that meringue, is lightly browned.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to burn that.
And then once it's complete, let it sit at room temperature and then chill it in the fridge or the freezer.
Yeah, and then whenever you're ready to serve it, you can just take it out of the freezer, thaw it in the fridge, you can take it out, slice into it. You don't need any whipped cream. That meringue topping is already so light and fluffy and sweet. It's going to be perfect. Now, that sounds like a simple but really easy, amazing pie that you can whip together in half an hour or so and then just put that in the freezer, have that ready for a little party. You were telling me that you made some deviations from the recipe, trying your own thing a little bit. What were you wanting to do?
I want to add mint. So I'm feeling more of a mint, like a lemon mint jewel pie.
That sounds really good. Lemon and mint do actually go so well together.
Yeah.
And you're using fresh mint leaves, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something that I would do. I don't know. Probably use some sort of mint extract. But fresh mint seems like it'll work a lot better.
Mint.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I've done already is I've melted the butter.
Ooh, okay.
I've let the pie dough itself become room temperature, so it's easier to roll out. I have preheated the oven to 350 degrees.
Lovely.
I have my pie tin. So I'm gonna brush the bottom of the pie tin with butter.
Yeah, just a little brush.
A little melted butter. And if you don't have a silicone rubber brush or even a painting light, an unused painting brush, right?
As long as you're gentle.
You can actually also use paper towels and just pour the butter in and then use a paper towel and swipe it around the pie pan itself.
As long as you keep it clean.
Mm-hmm. But if you're going to use a painting brush that you just get from the arts and crafts store, it needs to be a new one that has never touched paint.
Yeah. You keep your food and your art
separate. I am saying this for you, Zoe.
What? Why would I do that?
You never know.
You know what? That's fair.
I am teaching a blind woman how to bake currently.
That is true.
So
no, I would never do that.
Are you sure?
I think so. You know what? I've been wrong before. I'll trust you.
And you don't need a whole lot of melted butter either.
It's just to protect that pie dough. And you're not trying to flavor the pie dough heavily or anything. Just get that nice crisp outside without burning it or having it stick to the pan. Because
mm-hmm.
No one wants a slice of pie and all of a sudden you can't lift the bottom out of the pan.
So I've pulled out my pie dough. I'm unfolding because it's in a
roll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I thought it was room temperature enough. It wasn't, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll work through it.
It's just these little tiny pieces at the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slowly setting it down.
And if you've decided to use like a graham cracker crust from the store,
you don't have to do any of this.
Yeah, you don't have to do any of this, but we figured for the lemon mint sort of center, it would just hold better, like complement it better. But a graham cracker like crumbly crust, you can skip this step and then move to the part where you brush the bottom with butter and then add in the yolk mixture.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like pre-bake the graham cracker crust.
So I've added the pie dough to it.
Okay.
And I'm just poking some holes in the bottom of the dough to try and give it an even cook.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's done. I'm gonna put it in the oven for 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. Okay, now let's go over to our eggs.
All right, let's get this party started.
Our eggy-waggies.
And you can always do this by hand with a good whisk too if you don't have a mixer at home, but it'll just take a little longer.
So what I have in front of me is some fresh mint, maybe about a teaspoon or two of fresh mint minced.
Ooh.
I got three big lemons. What I do with lemons or any citrus when I need to use them for juice is I roll them against the counter to knead it to kind of be a little bit more pliable.
Yeah, you want to break up those like little pieces in there and against
mm-hmm.
getting them nice and ready to be juiced.
Mm-hmm. And I got my three eggs. So what we're going to do first is we're going to crack those eggs in half, okay?
Any tips for newbies?
Try and crack in the center of the egg itself, okay?
Okay.
It can be a little bit challenging, that's okay. If you're having trouble separating out the egg yolks itself, because normally you would go in between each half shell
yeah.
to separate the egg whites from the yolk, is dump the entire egg into it. Make sure the yolk is not cracked, so it's leaking. Mm-hmm. Take an empty water bottle, like a convenience store with that twist top, and suck in that egg yolk into the bottle and put it in a different bowl.
You know what? I never even thought about that. I always thought that was a party trick, but that actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. All right, ready?
Yeah.
And there's also some accessibility devices, actually, to crack an egg.
That is true. Yeah, whatever you're looking for, whether you're just getting into it like me, or whether or not it's just a little too difficult, and like me, you're looking for an accessibility device. Without vision, it's a little more difficult, but there are egg cracking devices that you can actually buy. Very cheap. Tap a button, cracks the egg, and then you can split the egg open. It's still up to you to separate the egg white and the egg yolk. But hey, cracking an egg without destroying it is a real victory for me at this point.
Mm-hmm. So I got one egg cracked, now I'm on to the next one.
Delicious.
And the more you...
Oh, what happened?
I just fully dropped.
Mistakes happen. We're just cleaning
up. Yes. The yolk is perfectly intact.
On the floor?
In my hand. I somehow caught it at the perfect second.
You caught the yolk in your hand.
I caught the yolk at the perfect second. I have a whole egg yolk in my hand.
How is it?
I have those paper towels.
Yeah,
can you give me another egg?
I will get you another egg. Yeah, I'll try to warm the other egg.
I don't
have a fridge.
That's so impressive.
Those are some reflexes right there.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that just okay.
Those are some quick. I can't believe you caught the yolk and it didn't break.
I don't know. Okay, I'm off. And I'm sure we'll just give Tucker the extra eggshells and yolk.
Well, yeah, he's gonna enjoy that.
We're good, folks. Okay, I'm gonna crack that third egg.
Yeah, I'm doing a quick warm on this egg with my own body. You don't want a microwave or anything.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm just using my own hands to just warm this egg real quick.
I
was, like, shocked.
Oh, folks, if only you could have seen that. That was...
We were just talking about experiments and mistakes.
Okay.
Just goes to show that nothing is impossible in the kitchen.
Oh my god,
I'm just astounded that you caught the egg yolk. Any minute more, I'm just trying to keep it get it nice and room temperature. But you got that third egg ready, right?
Yeah, it's already cracked. Perfect. I just need one more set of egg whites. That's all I need.
We can take the extra egg yolk and, I don't know, feed that to Tucker.
Yeah,
or
with the eggshells. Oh, by the way, folks, if you have dogs and if they're not allergic to chicken or eggs, eggshells and raw eggs, or even cooked eggs, plain cooked eggs, are very good for them.
Yes, they are. Just make sure to grind up those eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
Good calcium for them, but you don't want them to get a spiky piece of eggshell. All right, give that a go. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll work. Now I'm just going for the egg whites here.
Perfect. Don't drop it.
Okay.
And why do we want them room temperature before we crack them?
It's easier to separate them.
That makes sense.
Usually, but I think it's also just has to do with how they cook, I guess.
Yeah, an even temperature.
Can I give you the eggs for Tucker?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, put all that in his bowl.
Fabulous.
I'm gonna wash my hands really quick.
That's a good idea.
Do you have more paper towels?
Yeah, here, take this one that I'm using right now.
It's more for the floor, because it's literally right where I'm standing.
Yeah, again, we want to keep a clean workstation.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to have to let them off.
And egg whites do get sticky, it's okay, we'll clean that.
Okay, folks, we're good. That was a funny mistake that just happened.
You literally managed to catch yourself before the mistake really hit the floor.
Don't ask me. Okay, so I have the egg yolks. I have the egg whites. I'm going to juice the lemons now.
Okay.
And again, we only need a third of a cup. But what I'm also going to do is I'm going to save the lemons.
Okay.
And zest them.
That's a great idea.
For the rind itself.
Yeah. Get more of that authentic lemon flavor in there, not just that. Now, I'm super inexperienced. What's the best way to juice a lemon?
You can do it with your hands.
Well, are you going to cut it in half and then just squeeze it over? But that's kind of what I thought, but just making sure there wasn't some secret technique.
And you can buy these little mini juicer things.
Oh, I've seen those.
From the store.
It seems like an extra step, really.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
It helps catch...
the seeds and everything,
yeah.
Right? That is true.
So I'm just doing that.
I don't know. I think of the pulp as a, whatchamacallit, happy little accident?
Yeah. But again, I also rolled the lemons to try and get the juice to come forth easier.
True, true, true. Fabulous. And your house is going to be smelling amazing with that lemon.
Oh, I love the smell of lemon.
Back when I was younger, I think one of the things that we used to do was we would take an orange peel or like a lemon peel and stick it in the fridge for a day after we used it. We'd throw it away afterwards because you don't want it going bad or anything, but it would get nice and fragrant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are some firm lemons.
Yeah, you gotta have a little bit of wrist strength. So if it's easier for you to use that pre-made lemon juice for cooking, go for it.
You gotta have a little bit of wrist strength? I'm out.
Oh yes, our little weak Zoe.
It's a chore to carry shopping bags home.
I mean, it's a chore for everyone.
Not a
but
chore.
You have a slightly heavy bag. It's not even 5 pounds.
And then my hand starts tingling. I'm like, oh, this is the heaviest bag ever. It's my dream to one day run out of the car and back into the house without carrying any groceries home.
It will never happen so long as you live with me.
Hey, the message of this podcast is to bring it back to the student experience and to chase your dreams. So someday I will achieve that dream of running back into the house with Tucker and not carrying any groceries.
We're doing some very fresh lemon juice. Okay. So we need 1/3 of a cup.
And how much did we get from those 3 lemons, do you think?
Almost 3/4.
That's a lot. We can save the excess
and
use that for other cooking projects. Yes. See, again, cooking is so perfect because even if you make mistakes, they turn into inspiration for your next meals. You can take that and on hot days like these, you can make actual lemonade. Didn't you get that one lemonade like a day or two ago and you were so happy, Kuma?
Oh yeah, I got fresh lemonade from an orchard. It was in a 32-ounce container.
Yeah?
And it was just a Tupperware of lemon juice and marionberries and ice.
Oh, so good.
Okay, so we're adding the egg yolks and the lemon juice.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, it's the egg yolks first, I believe. You start to beat them, and then you first add in the condensed milk.
Yes.
And then the lemon juice.
So I'm going to start beating the egg yolks, and then I'm going to pull out the pie dough.
Okay.
And then I'll add in the...
condensed milk?
Condensed milk. So the mixer will be loud.
Yeah.
So we'll pause.
We'll pause as it's mixing just so that we don't hurt lovely viewers' ears.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're back. The egg yolks were just mixed up in the mixer. We slowly added in our condensed milk. We slowly added in that lovely lemon juice and lemon zest. What does the mixture look like now?
So it's a pale yellow in color.
Ooh.
And kind of jello consistency.
Okay, yeah, because we don't want to overbeat it either and just want to make sure that you, the viewer, know what it should look like.
So I have that. I'm scraping down the sides and I'm pouring it into the pipe tin, okay?
Oh, delicious, yeah.
Because I took the pipe tin out of the oven.
And it's a wonderful crust. It came out perfect, half cooked, and not going to stick or congeal together with that inside.
And I'm just scraping on the bowl so we get everything out.
You know what, Kuma? Aside from shepherd's pie, this is actually the first pie that I've ever made with someone.
Really?
In general, yeah. I've never made a fruit pie. Well, I've tried, but last time I tried making a fruit pie, it... What's the word? The top collapsed and covered the center?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was bad. The bottom did congeal together with the fruit.
Okay. So... because the pan is still hot, I am using my spatula.
Yeah.
My silicone spatula. And trying to even it out.
Safety first, everyone.
Pie dough?
Regarding the heat and everything, we don't want to burn ourselves.
So that's done. So now what I'm going to do with the bowl is I'm going to wash it and then add those 3 egg whites. Start beating it. and slowly add in those 6 tablespoons of sugar.
That's wonderful, yeah. We'll come back, because again, the mixer's loud, but we'll come back right at the end to describe what it looks like and to add the egg white of that lovely, that'll be a meringue at that point,
mm-hmm.
on top of that pie filling. So yeah, we'll be back in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're back. We just whipped together that meringue. We took a look at it, thought you could use a little bit more time. So we whipped it until it was nice and airy, nice and stiff, nice and airy. Didn't look like it would fold over really easily. And so I think it's got the perfect amount of whipping.
So if you've seen marshmallow fluff and what it looks like, or marshmallow cream, we're kind of going for a consistency like that.
Ooh,
so
okay.
What I did was I added the egg whites, those 3 room temperature egg whites, as I was beating. And you have to, if you're mixing it by hand, you have to beat it by hand very, very, very fast.
Yeah.
For a long while. So be prepared for that. Slowly add in the sugar. And then I added some of that fresh mint to it. So kind of like a sugared mint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
And what I did to the pie was then I added the rest of that minced mint, because I chopped it up very, very finely, and then the lemon zest just straight on top. Now I'm adding the meringue on top of it.
Delicious. It's gonna be that nice fluffy cloud layer. And yeah, again, if you don't have a mixer, just don't be afraid. It'll take a little bit longer, but it'll be fun. You just gotta beat it by hand, and then you'll get a nice creamy finish. So you'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm. Gonna be a weirdo and take a photo.
I think it would be weird not to take a photo of such a delicious pie.
Well, I don't make pies very often.
This is the first actual dessert pie that I've did with someone.
I'm just scooping all of that meringue on top, okay?
Yeah.
So I have added the meringue. Kind of looks like a little mound.
Ooh, delicious.
And I'm just patting it because I want some peaks.
Get it looking nice and artistic for the fun look and the fun textures.
Uh-huh.
And again, those are really fluffy egg whites. So no matter what thickness you use, it's going to cook fast. How long do we have it in the oven for?
Only 7 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then once we slide it in, it only takes 7 minutes to bake. After that, we can take it out. It'll be tempting to just cut right into that, but don't do it. Just let it get to about room to cool down a little bit. If you put it immediately in the fridge, that's really bad. It's really easy for it to develop salmonella and whatnot, getting it really hot to really cold really fast. So just let it cool a bit and then chill it in the fridge for a few hours. Then once that's ready to go, and once you're ready to serve it, you can pull it out, grab a slice, and serve. There we go, we're sliding it right into the oven. We will pull it out, chill it, and taste it. We will tell you how it turned out on our next episode, but until then, please leave comments or your own little stories or feedback about what you think about this pie and this recipe. Until next time, thanks for joining us on A Slice of Life. Thanks to our special guest hosts, Ray and Patricia. I've been Zoe, this has been Tucker, and
this is Kuma. Have fun baking, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resources Department, and the PCC Multimedia Department. We air new episodes biweekly on our home website, our Spotify channel, and on X-Ray 90.1 FM and 107.1 FM.